immerse yourself in what you love and call it work, right? Because if you're doing what you love, you really never work a day in your life. My daughter accuses me of that, and which is true. I am doing that. We have launched the Growth Factory, which is a startup accelerator along with an accompanying venture fund and a backyard advantage. I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the show. But the bottom line is I get to hang out with the most promising, the most ambitious people in the region. And as they succeed, we succeed. So I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the show, because we had an event last night that I think you're going to think is kind of cool. And you may wonder, how do I get involved in this growth factory, in this club, if you will? But coming up on the show today, we have somebody who has immersed herself into something she loves, and it's dance. Today, I am going to be joined by Miss T, Tamara Sandifer. She is the founder of Studio T and doing things to help our young people to become successful through their creativity and through dance. And her business is exploding nationwide. So stick around. I think you're going to really appreciate how somebody turned their passion, something they love, into a job, into a business opportunity right here in the hometown we love. Stick around. You know, creativity and entrepreneurship go hand in hand. And today I have the pleasure of bringing on somebody, introducing you to somebody who is helping young people bring out their creativity and become champions. And she is changing lives. Today I have from Studio T Dance Academy, I have Tamara Sandifer, also known as Miss T. How are you?
That's right. I'm wonderful. And actually, we are Studio T Arts and Entertainment now. We were Studio T Urban Dance Academy, but because of all the different programs that we added, we had to change our name because we'd grown so much. Who we are then didn't encompass everything we're doing now.
So it's Arts Academy.
Arts and Entertainment.
Arts and Entertainment. Mm-hmm. Thank you for making sure that we're... Okay, so I want to know about the organization.
Sure.
Why don't we start there? Maybe an overview of the organization. I've been inspired by seeing the work that you've done, and I knew I had to help share the story for the rest of Sacramento, anybody who might not know you. So give us an overview of the organization.
Okay, so we started really in 2000, but we were officially established in 2005. We started just by doing hip-hop and working with young people, you know, at parks, community centers, churches, anywhere where we could gather safely with the kids. We had a lot of kids, a lot of Bay Area natives that our kids were getting involved in some negative things, and it was so readily accessible for them that we knew that we could, if we could give them a positive alternative, it would help them not only to be able to kind of release some of the emotional stuff that they're challenged by, but also develop career paths. So we started teaching hip hop dance. That's still one of our main things that we do. And in doing that, we started seeing that our kids and our parents in our communities, they needed more than just a dance class. So we evolved from just teaching dance to offering things like basic needs. We had a lot of families that had the hard decision to make between do we get hygiene items or do we pay our electricity bill?
And like, maybe I'll start. I'll stop for a second here just to make sure that we who are you helping and where did it begin?
Well, it began really here in Sacramento, and we're helping thousands. I mean, we landed 2019 and serving 5,000 youth and their family, and we landed 2020 serving 192,000 nationwide.
But you describe people from the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah, because I'm from the Bay.
Are these young people that are disadvantaged in
most
cases?
It used to be.
Okay.
So we started with our more trauma-informed youth, our troubled communities, our under-resourced communities. Definitely did that because I figured, you know, I was one of those kids. So if we could give them just the tools and some resources, it could kind of level the playing field for them again. So that has definitely been my concentration. But as a result of COVID, a lot of kids became disadvantaged. So we took the expertise that we developed from, 15 years of serving specific communities that were in survival mode, that didn't have enough, that were plagued with things like third-party homicide, drugs, teen pregnancy, alcohol abuse, all of those things, took what we learned there and was able to, you know, apply it to all these other kids that were new to being traumatized because of COVID, families that were new. We had so many families that had never been in a survival mode, a fight or flight mode, because they had advantage in life. Yeah. But COVID put us all on the same playing field, baby. So we took the expertise in that, and that really that was a catalyst for the explosion, because we don't know, we're just serving people. We didn't know that we were building a recipe that would help thousands of people during an international pandemic. We didn't know that.
Okay, so it's expanded outside of Sacramento now, then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yep, we're nationwide.
Okay, so I may take you back to the beginning. Take me back to the beginning.
I'll go back to the beginning with you.
what prompted you to start it? What happened? Was there an event where you said that one person needs help?
I've always danced, but I never danced in a studio. That was something we did. I grew up in Richmond, California, mm-hmm. and we grew up as kids. There's six of us kids at home. My mom was a single parent, so she was gone a lot working, trying to, you know, provide. And our form of entertainment was doing these little at-home talent shows. We didn't have, like, a lot of money, so we didn't have things like cable and TV and stuff. So that was how we would keep ourselves entertained. And I was always the dancer, the dance teacher. So I've been doing it for as long as I
You were
remember.
The dance teacher of the siblings?
Yes. So they all had to do my routines. And so it was a community thing too, because again, we grew up in the height of the crack epidemic. So a lot of us kids were becoming parents to our parents. So one of the childlike things that we got to do, especially during the 80s, was dance and hip hop and break in and all that stuff was like just coming out. And so I learned to do those things as a community gathering thing, as a safety thing, but also as an expression. A lot of the music that we make, especially in my culture, it talks about what's happening civically. It talks about the emotions that we're going through, and, you know, going through all that stuff. You don't always know the words to say what's happening to you, but you can find a song that's saying what's happening with you and express what you're going through music and the ministry of movement. Uh-huh. So that's where it began for me. And then when we relocated to Sacramento, I saw very quickly that was a void area. We had a lot of people doing remarkable work, but it wasn't like, it was studio kind of work, but it wasn't the kind of stuff that helped us survive emotionally and for many of us physically that I'd learned in the Bay. So I just started doing it for free anywhere anybody would let me, just so I can get the kids gathered to see how I could best help them. So I worked a full-time job during the day. And as soon as I got off work, you know, I have kids, we packed them in the car and we just found a park and, you know, we got sweaty. But I wasn't prepared for summers in Sacramento. So once yes. August hit, I'm like, this is not gonna work. So the heat and having about 70 kids of color and we're all turning shades outside, sweating to death, that's what inspired me. And I said, well, maybe I could buy a building. I didn't know. I'm young. You know, I think I can, you know, fly. So I took my a second out on my home. I took my 401k, I took my savings, and I bought a building, and that's how Studio T Urban Dance Academy was birthed.
Wow. Okay, so if we come into Studio T Dance Academy in Sacramento today, mm-hmm. What will we see? Describe the experience, and what are my options?
Okay, so your options are aplenty, and it's not a singular space anymore. So okay. One of the things that we did in 2013 is that we realized very quickly that we could only serve the kids because I had a building. We could only serve the kids that could get to us, and that wasn't the easiest thing for the kind of kids we wanted to serve. So I closed my regular brick and mortar, and I started installing my program as after school enrichment in schools. So we started building relationships with school districts. So what you'll see today as far as dance and our media services, our family management services, you'll see a lot of that happening right through the schools. You'll see a lot of that happening in community centers. We're in every single major community, every single city, district, county, and that's not just here in Sacramento. We have programs in Elk Grove, Rancho Cordova, San Diego will be starting in January, and then virtually we are totally across the country nationally. And that we're able to, that was because of COVID. So everything we did, we started to make media around it. So whenever I would teach a class, whenever I would do one of our programs like business management, we call it Side Hustle Academy. Whenever I would do anything, my kids would capture it, we'd package it, we'd upload it, and we'd share it. So what you'll find today is you'll find six major facets of the program, one of which is still Studio T Urban Dance Academy. That's still our biggest net for young people because of its social relevancy and its cultural relevancy. Everybody took to TikTok with a dance during COVID. So we became extremely popular. We were popular before, but we became ridiculously popular afterwards.
Because your students are so good, they post something on TikTok and it causes the studio to go viral to a certain extent.
Well, it does that for the individual, but then we had a lot of people that weren't necessarily dancers who wanted to be able to be a part of that community because everybody was forced into the digital realm as a part of, so there's social community. So it stopped being the face-to-face and hand-to-hand, but what are you posting and what are you commenting and who's trending? So everybody kind of wanted to do, well, what's the new dance trend or what's the new dance challenge? So again, we had to start teaching people how to do that. And it wasn't just your everyday people that, oh, I'm a dancer. No, it was like, you know, your cousin's mom who was cooking in the kitchen while she's doing this stuff at the same time. And now all of a sudden she's got hundreds of thousands of views and now everybody wants to buy her pies. So it became that thing during COVID. So Studio T Urban Dance Academy is still one of our number one programs and products. Okay. And then Studio T, our media production team. So that, again, was really a part of what we taught our kids, especially the ones that we were able to go pro. So we, when we say go pro, we have kids that dance with artists like Justin Bieber, Britney Spears, Jennifer Lopez, Selena Gomez, Chris Brown, the Jabberwockies, Rihanna. The list is very, very long. But in order for these kids to have that sort of opportunity, we had to get them in auditions and get them in front of casting directors. Well, when you don't have a lot of money, you can't get on a plane or jump in a car and go do and stand in line for a possibility. You know, it's not a sure thing. You got to compete against 200, 300 other kids that look like you and are gifted like you. Mm-hmm. So we started to capitalize on media. I taught them how to present in front of a camera, how to edit their own work, how to make sure that they're highlighting what they do. And it's visual because it's different in person than it is through video. And again, we didn't know we were doing these things. We were doing them to help our kids and it just became a thing.
Wow.
So we'd already done the training well during COVID because of the demand for it. It became a spinoff of its own entity within the company. So now we don't just do media content for clients. There's a triple component to it. So now we have a training center. It's our Studio T Productions, our production lab. The kids call it the lab. But anyone can come to this space. They can do videos, photos, podcasts. It's all in-house. And if you walk in the space, every single room has a different feature. So essentially, you could come in and get a good month's worth of content standing in front of any one of the walls in any four of the rooms and produce enough stuff to satisfy your digital needs for a month easily. And it also has a training component. So our students are the ones that help with capture. Our students are the ones that help with storytelling. And then our students are the ones that help with post-production, social media campaign management. And we constantly have a rotation of cohorts of kids that are coming through and learning this stuff and then aligning with organizations. So that's a third component.
Okay, so you get the dance piece, you've got the media
production.
And then you have a component where a business could come in and do a podcast, make a video, and get help telling their story.
Yep, and merch. They can make their own gear. That's a big thing online right now, and the kids all do that. Signage, all of that stuff. So we do all of that in
that
one space.
Okay,
that's the production lab.
Wow.
And then we have Pass to Class, which is our online learning platform. And originally, our concentration for that was to help people to be able to dance the school sites that we couldn't get to every single week. We had budget cuts a handful of years ago for Sac City Unified, which is where we do a lot of our dance training, and we couldn't get to every site. Like, we were everywhere, but we couldn't get to every site every day. And the need for them to have what we do as a PE alternative or a rainy day recess alternative, the kids loved it so much, but we couldn't be there all the time. So I started making these videos and housed them on a platform that we called Pass to Class. You can get your Pass to Class. And so once COVID hit, like, that was something that just kind of sat dormant or just really was there for the teachers that knew us, that we knew. We gave it to them for free. We never charged. again, I didn't know I was building a thing until COVID. I'm like, whoa, that's a thing. So we got it to as many school districts as we can. And we never marketed it. We never did any advertising. It spread like wildfire all by itself. This teacher told this teacher told this administrator. Before you know it, we were completely across the country. And people were using the Pass to Class platform as a distance learning platform for arts, media, and entertainment. But they were also using it for professional development. A lot of our educators had to learn to live and teach in the digital realm where they're accustomed to a kid coming to class, sitting in a desk. We have this FaceTime. Well, they had to become content developers, brand developers, and then they had to learn how to become entertainers, because in order for you to compete and hold the attention of your students, now you're competing with the NBA, the yes. NFL. Like, they're all doing this, the entertainment, movies, everybody's virtual. So now you have to compete for your client, the student. So that education happens through our Pass to Class platform.
Okay, so is the client in that case the school?
The school, school district.
School district, okay. Mm-hmm.
The teachers and the students and families. So what we started also adding to the Pass to Class platform was, when they shut down the schools, our parents became full-time parents. They also became teachers' aides. They also became PE teachers. They also became family managers. They also became budgeters. And a lot of this stuff happens through these extra services that you get through traditional realms like a school system. Well, what mm-hmm. happens when that's completely cut off from you? So our parents had to be educated in a number of ways. Not that they were ignorant, it just was all new.
It's new to all of
us. And a lot of our families went into what we called a pressure cooker. So our CPS cases went up, our domestic violence cases went up, our homicides went up, like everything went up because of the amount of pressure that everybody, and the uncertainty, and everybody was in survival mode. People don't know how to handle that, especially if you've never had to handle it, especially as densely as we all did during COVID.
Nobody could have expected COVID, and I think we all dealt with it in different ways, but I don't think anybody dealt with it perfectly.
No, my goodness. No, how could you?
Yeah.
Like, nobody knew what we were fighting with, and then nobody knew what the potentials are on the other side of this. So in us building these training programs, I mean, we had to teach budgeting, we had to teach savings, we had to teach meal prep, we had to teach. And when I say we had to teach, we determined to offer our families any tool that we could that could take the pressure off of them, give them a hope, give them a future, and give them the resources they needed to be successful until we figured out, okay, well, what's next for the world? Mm-hmm. And so in developing these programs, that's our Take Control program. All of this stuff is housed on the Pass to Class platform. And so it became a feeder for not just school districts, but also programs that are designed to support people in fiscal health. And again, I don't consider myself an expert in that, but I do know how to save money. I do know how to make your ends meet month to month. And then I'm also a product of the welfare program, but going from welfare to, you know, Forbes, it took some steps. So all I'm doing is teaching what the steps that I've taken that have offered these outcomes, and then working with certain cultures, certain communities, especially the ones that that birthed me. Everybody's entrepreneurial. You can't make it unless you have a side hustle. And so that's our fifth facet of the program, is we started Side Hustle Academy, especially during COVID, because people couldn't clock in and clock out someplace. And a lot of organizations weren't ready for the distance work or the workforce from home. And so they cut a lot of people off from their ability to provide for their families. And so having a side hustle became, you know, mandatory for a lot of people, but they didn't know, okay, how do we get started? How do we sustain? How do we make this a digital thing that feeds us, because I can't go, you know, sell pies at the farmer's market right now. So that Side Hustle Academy really was just birthed out of me doing what I've already done for the past 20 years here in the city, and just kind of taking, you know, what I'm considering my cultural equity or my cultural gold, and gifting it to people so that we can survive and sustain until people figure out, okay, now where do I want to go with life? Mm-hmm. And then lastly, we did a program that's still functioning called Level Up. And a lot of the challenge that happened in a lot of communities where they got angry and they, you know, they started to tear apart their own communities mm-hmm. because they were scared and they didn't know what was going on. And the government kept saying things like stimulus and stimulus and stimulus. Well, that word didn't mean anything to certain communities or the great majority okay. until COVID. So we had to do a lot of translation and a lot of education for certain communities. So what we did was we took our kids who are these experts in communication because they live in that realm every day. And so we had them start to say, okay, baby, this is what this means. This is what the government is saying that they have for our community, our families, and here are the steps to get to that. Now let's put that in a language that this community can understand. And it wasn't just going from English to Spanish. It was going from English to English, but nobody says stimulus, but everybody understands help is coming. You're going to get some money and the government is going to help us. And this is what it's going to look like. They get that, baby. We going to be all right.
Yeah.
That means stimulus to some people. So our kids were the catalyst through the Level Up program for social media campaign, merch that would say it, websites that would say it, even a series of cartoons that would express emotions and how to get through them that represented the people of the community, not just, you know, so we wanted to do something that, oh, that looks like me or that looks like my mom.
Right.
So we used every possible medium that our kids could come up with just so that we could become translators so people would know and be informed about the help that they could get access to and what was going on politically and how to be safe as far as their health is concerned. Because a lot of in the beginning, people were like, well, I don't need a mask. Well, no, baby, yes, you do need a mask. And then we work with kids from the deaf and hard of hearing community and they dance. And so we had access to that community already. Well, once they started doing masks, they use, you know, they see. That's how they're able to, they can read your lips, especially if people don't know sign language. So once everybody masked up, that specific community, they needed servicing. So we did what we could to service that community through motion. And that's what, you know, that's what dance is communication through motion. So it was an easy transition, but all of that happened through the Level Up program too.
Yeah. I think the last time I saw you, we were at Kevin Johnson's event. He started a venture capital fund called Black Capital. Mm-hmm. And I happen to be an investor there. And we were at this event and Kevin did it. And I don't know if you were inside, cause I saw you outside afterwards, but your team was working the event. And
yeah, I asked
a
question and he brought him up on the stage.
Yes,
yeah, they got to work.
But he broke down with his panel, venture capital.
Yep.
He broke it down into kind of like layman's terms, right?
Sure.
Most people don't really understand what venture capital is. And we were in a community that it was really new to this particular community. And I love that we are recognizing that we need to do that.
Absolutely.
And Kevin did a great job. So what was the purpose of you being at that event? Your students were working the event.
Yep. And the purpose in us being there is, number one, I have to keep exposing them to things like this. That's not necessarily something that I can teach them, but it's still something that they need to be aware of and have a good firm education in. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that doesn't happen in an academic space. Sometimes that happens by talking to you and you say, oh, no, not like this, like this. And I find that our young people learn better like this.
Than a book. Better talking to somebody and asking, especially in those environments where, hey, there's no dumb questions. We all start somewhere.
Absolutely.
You know, we have super smart people, great creativity. Mm-hmm. They just haven't been exposed to, you know, some of this terminology.
Exactly.
Really, it's
exactly. And I think you'll find that our young people, they're more into that. So when you start thinking things like Bitcoin and NFTs and venture capitalists, like they're into that stuff. I have kids that we download that Robinhood app, baby. Come on, let's study this stuff out. And you tell me here, Misty, you're $20. We're going to find which one. So a lot of our kids were able to kind of tap into that kind of thinking and that kind of practice, especially during COVID. How to make your money work for you. How to make your money work where you don't have to work yourself to death. Those are all things that happens in certain cultures and certain communities where you work until you're dead. And you don't know how to take that money and make that money work for you. And that's a narrative that we're constantly building in our thinking, especially with our young people, especially our young people of color, because culturally, that's not a taught thing. That's a caught thing someplace else.
Okay, give me an example. You're teaching entrepreneurial principles to a group of people that are naturally entrepreneurial in the way that they think. They just haven't been exposed venture capital or entrepreneurship. Maybe the way I was exposed
they
to it growing up.
They haven't been exposed to those terms.
Yeah,
but the phrases. Is,
yes, but they're entrepreneurial by necessity or by the culture that they were brought up in. So give me a success story that someone from the outside would say, wow, that happened and it began there.
Sure. Okay. So I have a couple.
Okay.
But I'll give you one, a young lady that's here with us today. She came to us when she was 12. She's from a single parent family. One of her parents, had a challenge and, the parents separated. She really, when she came to us, she had a lot of emotional challenges. She wouldn't talk. Even when you do roll call in a dance class, she wouldn't say her name. And over the process of her not just being in the dance class, we taught her things like her work ethic, serving. That's a very important thing, that you don't just show up to do a job, you show up to serve your community. And in her learning that, of the thousands of people that we service, she's a major catalyst for how we serve them and who's in position to serve. Additionally, she works with Studio T Arts Entertainment, but she also has her own business. She's a DJ. She goes all over the place and she does DJing. She does DJ schools. She teaches and trains people. She mentors tons of kids in a week. She also is debt-free. She's a full-time college graduate, and she has a communications major and a dance minor. Did I flip it? Dance major,
we're
communications minor.
We're talking about
minor.
Hannah, who's standing right over to my right. When you hear this, what do you think? And I'll translate it because I'm closer to the mic. Are you?
Well, I'm very grateful for the opportunity, and Misty has brought me like every step along the way with her so that I can learn what she's learned and apply it to my life.
I hear gratitude in that yeah. voice. And you obviously describe her story with a lot of pride.
Yeah.
And who wouldn't? She started with you when she was
12.
12, and mm-hmm. now she's like 24.
She'll be 25.
Oh,
soon.
My gosh, she's getting old. She's an old lady.
Baby.
All right, so that's one story. Who's somebody
one.
Who has got a side business, but is also working alongside you,
yes,
too, at some level.
Yes, and she's very impactful in her community.
What about these people that are working with Justin Bieber and
okay.
all that? That just sounds like outrageous to me. That's awesome. Outrageous, like in a great way.
Well, when you have a gift, I'm taught that your gift will bring you before great men, great kings. And so I teach my kids, look, you're gifted, baby. You don't have to hide that. So we're going to show you how to use your gifts. Stay humble. But we're going to show you how to use your gift, monetize your gift, and then use your gift to transform not just your life, but the lives of people around you. So I would say my first young person out of the gate in all of this was a young man named Jonathan Raybon. And he, again, he's from Oakland. We met here in Sacramento, taught him how to teach and dance and this and that. He did all the stuff on the circuit. But what his breakthrough was, when he went to Los Angeles, a number of things that a lot of young people miss when they go there, and it's how they can get lost in the thick of things and not know how to sustain in the business, is that you don't treat yourself like the product. You don't treat yourself like the brand. You treat yourself like someone who comes up, does a dance, gets a check or a happy meal or however you get paid for your work, and then you disappear. Well, it's always been my practice to teach these kids the entrepreneurial aspects of business. So they are the brand, another dance brand, because really dance didn't become a standalone brand. It's always been an accessory brand to music and movies, but it became a standalone with things like America's Best Dance Crew, So You Think You Can Dance, America's mm-hmm. Got Talent. Now you can watch a dance show, and it's a standalone form of entertainment that someone can have a very full-time, a very well-compensated, very well-paid-for career in, and it doesn't have to just happen in a movie or in a music video or on a stage. Now it can happen at home in your kitchen with a phone, like a young man that we found in the front of a grocery store with his brother, Keita the Great, and he won So You Think You Can Dance when he was 14 years old, completely changed the trajectory financially of his family and himself. And he's still going strong since he won that competition. He's touring everywhere. But again, he's not Leon Burns. He's Kida the Great. So making sure that these kids know that they have to manage themselves like a business. And that requires work ethic. That requires discipline. That requires managing your money and knowing what you're reading, knowing what you're signing. And don't sign it. That's a very important thing because a lot of times when you come from an environment where you're constantly in survival mode, you just want to eat. Well, I teach my kids absolutely not. We're thinking about 5-10 years from now. If you take this opportunity, is this really an opportunity or are you just hungry for the moment? Mm-hmm. So just training them in that kind of stuff. And then brand management, making sure that they understand that this is a package that could potentially help not just me, but my family and my community. So the give back piece is also another very, very important piece. Yes, we get to work with people that that the world calls celebrity, but these celebrities are choosing to work with us. So I tell them, your gift is just as important as their gift, and this is a partnership. So you make sure you go into every opportunity like a partner. You give your part, they give their part, and everything keeps working together. And then I always make sure that another major piece part, and whether it's the celebrity, because we do work with a lot of people that are, you know, celebrity, but what's really huge for me is it doesn't matter how many people you have following you, how many lives are you changing because of the celebrity you've been gifted? So that whole give back component, and I'll tell my kids, and she'll verify that, Hannah standing over there, because this is something that I ingrain in them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give freely to you what's been given to me. I'm going to teach you everything I know, but I have one expectation. You're going to find 20 more kids that were just like you, and you pull them out of the pit. That's the only repayment I want. And that's, I believe, is what's attributed to the success of my young people, is they don't think about me. It's not just me. It's not just I. It's not singular. It's okay. Now I got to go back and pull out another one. I got to go back and pull out another one. And that's what's gifted them their staying power in the industry.
One of the things I see in entrepreneurship, and you have to see this because it's part of life. Some people don't know that they have a gift, right? They haven't discovered it yet. They might even think they are ungifted, but yet they just haven't discovered it yet.
Yeah, that's the truth.
What about the person who does it, who doesn't have good coordination, let's say? Someone like me who, look, I am not gifted on dance, but I might like it.
Yeah, sure. So, okay, number one, everybody has good coordination, and I can tell you that. Anybody can dance, and I'm going to prove it to you right now. It takes the same coordination to dance that it does to walk. So if you can walk, do you think right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot? No, you just walk. We're all designed for it. Your heartbeat is rhythmic. So everybody is born with the mechanics.
You haven't talked to my
move.
Wife.
No.
She's. If you've ever seen me dance, I'm the guy that should not be dancing.
You're the guy that we really want to dance.
I'm the part of the comedy dance area.
Now you're the person that doesn't have a script, but would probably move from enjoyment and fire and passion for what you're hearing and what you're feeling. Those are the kinds of people that I enjoy in consuming and whatever they're doing. I don't need to see somebody do some box moves that they learned out of a box. I don't need that kind of stuff. I want someone that's feeling and communicating what they're feeling through movement. And most often it's not scripted. And for some people it's not popular. I don't care about popular. Come on, baby. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you feel. Tell me what you know. Tell me what's true to you. And I find that most often when we get people to tap into that, their shine is easy. They just need to know that if your shine is different, it's okay that it's different. And you can shape it into whatever you want. Everybody is born with a gift. Nobody is not born without a purpose. Everybody is purposed that you're here. No one's here by mistake. No one's here for nothing. We all have a piece to this big puzzle that makes the whole world keep going around. And that's what I know is a truth. So whenever I can get people to see that, you're already doing your it thing. You're doing your it thing since you're a kid. No one told me, T, you should be a dancer. I always just danced, and I always just help people dance, and I always just help people that were in trouble. I was born with that. Somehow I was wired for it. He created me to do that, and I just do it on a larger scale, but I've always done it. Everybody's born with their it, and helping them to discover their it, typically when I do that, is I have them throw out everything that they think they learned. I have them throw out everything that they think they're supposed to be. Baby, what sets you on fire the moment you start talking about it? Mm. That's your it.
Yeah, I love that. That applies to all of us, no matter what we are doing. So you've built this business, and my first reaction is, oh my gosh, you've started too many departments. It's it's a lot of different things that you are focused on. But obviously it's working. But what's the biggest challenge that you've had in? Obviously, we ran into COVID. We all ran into a challenge. You saw it as an opportunity. You've got these six different divisions. Scaling thousands and thousands of people. It couldn't have been easy. What big obstacle did you have to overcome to really bring this together?
I would say I don't necessarily think in terms of challenge or obstacle. Everything is an opportunity. And so I would say that there was more demand than I was ready for in the beginning of COVID. I had to train very quickly, and I had to deposit the heart of what we do and who I am and how we serve into as many team members as possible. And so in doing that, I can honestly tell you, I wouldn't say, wow, we did a great job at developing a training program that built the infrastructure, which is really superb. I didn't do that. We scrambled like everybody else. Yes. Scrambled. And I spent a lot of time. We had meals together. We read inspirational books together. We prayed a lot, because there was no, this is the textbook answer with how to handle this, because we'd never been there before. So there was a lot of inspiration that came through prayer and creativity, like, okay, let's try it. Oh, okay, let's buy that. So you go this way and do this, and I'll go this way and do this, and we'll come back and compare notes. But that happened every day. And before you knew it, we built a team of people that were innovative, that there was no box. Like we couldn't function in a box of do it this way. In fact, we were building this jet while it was flying thousands of miles an hour, you know, breaking barriers and doing things that we didn't see anybody else doing. And in my mind and in my heart, it was never a thing like, can we do this, or should we do this, or is this going to be too much if we do this? It was we have got to do this, and somehow, some way, we're going to find the money, and we're going to find a way, because if we don't, this base of people may not make it. So it was never optional for us to do what we do. It was, we're doing this. We just got to figure out what it's going to look like as we do it.
Success is not an option. I love it. Okay, so long term, you've been doing this for a number of years, and obviously you've had these breakthroughs recently. Tell me get out the crystal ball if you don't mind. What do you want to do with the organization? Because it's a platform that's got real value.
Yep.
To so many. Is it, does it continue to expand?
Absolutely, yes. So we've taken what we've done here in the city of Sacramento, which we call our incubator. This is where we skinned our knees, we skinned our elbows, we hit our head, we fell off the bike, got back on. Ooh, we don't have training wheels now. Yeah, it has a motor. We're going faster. Bring it on, baby. So our city has been a tremendous incubator for us, and it's been a tremendous support for us. Organizations through the city, through like you guys, you don't know how much you inspired me. Years ago, Monique brought me here for the first time, and I'm like, this guy does what? I want to do that. So we have a podcast room now.
I love it.
So just so you know, like I learn from people like you here in the city, and then what we are doing going forward is we got the Big Mac recipe now. Mm-hmm. Now we have to spread it. Mm-hmm. So we're going into other cities, and we're building the same thing using the same recipe that's getting these quality results. And we're making sure that more than just this location has access to it because of the great need for it. So that's number one. And number two is I'm doing as much as we can, as fast as we can, to teach other people to become what we've become. It's great that we're doing what we're doing, but the demand is too much for one organization. There has to be more of us doing good and doing good work. So I do a lot of coaching, a lot of training. Again, that's what we did in COVID that worked, so that I can get other organizations, so they're not just stable and sustaining, but they're thriving, and then they're lending their greatness to other people, so that we're constantly doing this pull-up thing that's making the transformative work happen in different communities and different cities. So the expansion's already begun. And I think, you know, sometimes you know, you go to bed at night and you hear people say things like, you know, how are you going to do all this? And are you sure you should be be doing that? And again, it takes me back to, I remember who I was. I'll never forget who I was. And I'll never forget the T that came to me and said, look, I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to help you do this. And you're going to make a difference. I believe in you. I see you. So my heart's desire is if I can be that to as many people as possible so that they can have this same outcome, that's my life work. It's not my job. It's why I'm here. And so I make sure that I'm true to who I am and to my purpose in breathing.
Wow. Okay, Hannah, I threw out to you to come up with a question that would stump Miss T. This is your last chance. This is going to be one of the last questions of the day. Did you come up with something, or you want me to continue to roll?
I would say continue to roll.
Okay. Continue to roll. Okay. So one of the things that I think is important, because there are people that are listening to this going, I am inspired. I want to be like her. Advice to somebody who's thinking that way. Hey, I want to be the next Miss T. I want to have my own organization that changes lives and helps people find opportunity.
I would say to you that, number one, there's only one Miss T. And I say that from a place of humility. And the reason I say that is I find that we have a society where people want to copy other people that they think are successful. And I believe that everybody can be successful, that we live in a big enough world and there's enough resources where everybody can be successful. So my advice to someone who says they want to be inspirational or they want to do something or embark on something that's going to be transformative for themselves, their family, and the communities that they live and serve, I would say get started. Stop talking about it. Step one, go get the paperwork and get your business. What's your business name? Get a yellow notebook or a spiral binder or a composition notebook. Write your dreams, write your ideas, write your goals. Get all of this out of your, oh, that's so cool, if, or maybe I could, or step one, get started. And sometimes it's as simple as get it out of here, get it on something tangible, because I'm taught if it's not written, if you don't have a written vision, you can't run with it. It's like a map. You're not going to go anywhere if you don't have a written vision. So again, vision boards, things like that, those are key to me. I have vision walls and they work. But I would say get started. Stop talking about it. Don't talk about it. Stop. And then don't talk about it to people that are not going to be your encourager, your cheerleader, your inspirator. A lot of people tell me, T, why don't you get a real job? I can't tell you how many times I heard that when I told them I'm going to do this dance thing full time. You should get a real job. I'm like, this is a real job.
Like, I wasn't asking for you to tell me why I can't do it.
So just be mindful of who you share your written vision with. So and align yourself with people that are not going to tell you, okay, jump off a cliff and spend all your money. Don't do that. But if you have your written vision and you're taking your step, align, see if you could find someone that is doing it. Again, I like to keep my door open and I like to keep my cell phone on all the time. So I'm one of those people with Miss T. I took my step. What about this? What about that? And I don't get this. And this is something you can ask any one of, you know, anybody that's on my team. It's constant because of what I've experienced, what people call my cultural equity, the failures. And I tell you, I've had failures. This is not my first company. This is my fourth company. So I've had failures, like big old fat on like the news and in the newspaper. Whoa, she really, that was an epic. So I've had those things, but you talk to the people that have had those things. If someone says, I got in the business, I made this and it was so easy, run from those people. They're not honest. You talk to people that are successful in business, but are willing to tell you where they didn't miss, where they missed it, where they didn't get it. So I think it's really you taking a step, writing it down, and then aligning yourself with people that are honest with you about what it's going to take for you to do what you say you want to do.
Take a step, write it down, put the right people in your life. Miss T, thank you for what you do for society, for our community, for this hometown that I love. But thanks for sharing the story today on the show. I really appreciate
it. My pleasure. Thank you for having me. Seriously, you are definitely somebody that I take lots of notes off of. Yeah. So thank you very much for letting me come here and talk and just doing what you do. I know that, you know, whenever I can align with people that are like-hearted, like-minded, and servants, it makes all the difference in me having a refresher and being able to hit the ground running again. So thank you.
Thank you. Great show today, Miss T, sharing what she is doing for our community and what she is doing for herself in putting herself in an occupation that she loves, right? When you love it, you really never work a day in your life. That's what I do. I am immersed in the startup community here in the hometown that I love here in Sacramento, and trying to make an impact that most people would think is impossible. We're working on igniting an entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. I've been doing the podcast now for several years. I've been doing investments into startups for several years, and some of those investments have turned out to be phenomenal. Last night at a Growth Factory event, we had my good buddy Brandon Brown. He is the co-founder and CEO of a company called Grin. And Grin is an influencer marketing software creator, he's building a business that is really blowing up, and they've raised like $145 million, and the company is worth just shy of $1 billion. He came in last night at our Growth Factory event, and he shared his story about how he raised the money and the trials and tribulations and the stresses that it took to make that raise. And as the audience was listening to his story, I couldn't help but think of my favorite adage: success breeds success. When successful people end up talking about their stories, it gives a lot of us confidence, right? Their success brings out our confidence, and their success in a way can become infectious, and that enthusiasm and that confidence, it ends up being contagious, if you will. And we felt that last night at the Growth Factory event. Again, the Growth Factory is a startup accelerator with an accompanying venture fund and the Backyard Advantage, which is the most successful people in the Sacramento region. If you want to get involved in this club, you want to know what it's like to build a very successful company firsthand from people who are doing it. If you want to be in this ecosystem, hit me up at the Mark Haney. Hit me up on Instagram, LinkedIn, any of the social media platforms. And if any of you are out there fighting the fight for good, for entrepreneurship or for our freedom or for our security, you know, here at Haney Biz, here at the Growth Factory, that you can count on one thing: we're never above you. We're never below you. We are always by your side. This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleam? Busting in air, gave proof through the night.